Well, thankful to be here today and for this meeting. Thankful for the blessings that the Lord's given me already, and encouragement, and thankful to see all of you. It's a blessing. Had a little thought here. Been waiting for the Lord to tell me when. I feel like this morning might be the time to share it. Before we do, that's something that's kind of personal to me, something God's kind of dealt with me about. It, you know, it's maybe a little different than some, but it's what the Lord showed me I had to do. So if you'll bear with me, would you bow your heads with me for a moment? Dear Lord, you know we're opening up your word now, dear God, and this is your word. It is not my word. It's none of our word. It's yours, dear God, and it's your spirit that knows how to deliver it to our souls, Lord. Would you please deliver by your spirit, and also, Lord, it takes your spirit for us to be able to open up and truly receive this the way we need to. So, Lord, would you help us in every way this morning to be able to receive what you have for us, dear God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I think we've heard some excellent messages from the Lord so far. I feel like they've been a blessing and an encouragement to us, and I feel like we've had some that encouraged us to take some steps forward in our lives. I don't know how you feel about that, but I feel like that's the case, and I feel like that's not unusual. We come in a place like this looking for what the Lord sees we need. And sometimes the Lord, you know, gives us kind of the old pat on the back, and I believe he's done that. And sometimes he says, well, and here's somewhere where you might want to work a little harder. You might want to pay a little more attention to this. And the burden that the Lord has given me comes in behind that to say that it's in your hands now. What you've heard so far in this meeting, and, you know, we don't have to restrict it to that, but the Lord's been teaching you in your private time, what he's been dealing with you about, where he's been showing you to move up. And maybe I'm different, but God's been showing me where I need to move up. I believe he does that with all of us. You know, it's in your hands. You have the opportunity to make a decision about what you're going to do with that. And what the Lord has given me is to explain that a little deeper, how that it is in our hands. Because if God had just dumped all of this on us, and we as a human were supposed to do something with it, well, we'd be in a mess. We would be in a mess. We would know what we're supposed to do, but there wouldn't be a way to get it done. But the Lord has a way for us to do this. He's laid it out for us and given us what we need to be able to accomplish what he sees needs to be accomplished. The verse was just mentioned, I believe, Sister Molly. I think you mentioned this verse. Well, no, I may have that wrong. I'm sorry, Sister Molly. Someone mentioned it, how the lady, he said, go and sin no more. I get things mixed up in my head sometimes, Sister Molly. I'm sorry. It might have been somebody else. But that verse has always stuck out to me, and it's one I've thought about and I've talked about. And I say, you know, if that wasn't possible, then why did Jesus say that? There's so much else that we know about Jesus from his word and from personal experience that just doesn't match up. The Lord's not the kind of Lord. By personal experience and by his word, I know that the Lord's not the kind of Lord who likes to sit here and tell you to do something that can't be done. In fact, he even says in his word, he got on to the, I believe it was the scribes and Pharisees specifically, but it was in that group that he got on to, maybe it was the scribes and the lawyers or something. He said, you bind heavy burdens, grievous to be borne on people's backs, and you won't lift a finger to help them. He got on to them for that. Now, would the Lord be the same way with us? No. He's good, he's honest, he's true to his word, and he's not going to put us in that kind of situation. So today, it's in your hands because of what the Lord has done. So I want to look into his word and with the help of the Lord, maybe give what he's given me along those lines. So let's write this on the board. It's in your hands. All right, if you'll Turn with me to Romans, the second chapter. And what we have here in this part of Romans is basically Paul writing and dealing with some people who maybe had the law and maybe even taught the law, taught the things of God, but were not following through with them in their lives. And he was trying to make a point to them that just having this law, Lord help us here, because we deal with this today. This is something that's taught in the name of Christ that's just not true. They were in a place where I'm going to take a guess, and I may have their motives kind of wrong, but it's basically the kind of situation we have today where the law is taught, but there's no intention to truly allow it to be accomplished in our life, maybe. There's even a lesson that it can't be accomplished. And so Paul is, for whatever reason, wherever they were on that scale, there was the teaching and the lack of follow-through of that teaching in their life. The teaching wasn't coming into them and becoming who they were, and they weren't behaving themselves in the manner that the teaching said to behave themselves. All right? And so he's saying, this isn't the way it works. This isn't what God gave us. This isn't what he gave us in Christ. He did not give us a situation where we have teachings that we all acknowledge and say, those are good, everything's great, and there's no ability for those teachings to be manifested in our lives. That's the Lord came so that the teachings could be manifested in our lives as we come to understand them, not by a simple print that we get saved and he comes and he takes all his teachings in one big stamp and boom, hits us with them, and there we are. We're exactly everything that God would ever see that we possibly need to be. That's not how it happens either. Okay? But the Lord made a way that if we will take his teachings to heart and acknowledge who he is and that we need to be like him, that he will help us become, as he begins to enlighten our eyes on different issues, that he will enable us to follow that truth which he is giving to us. The truth will set you free. Something in your life that the Lord comes to deal with you, it's kind of like you're bound to that thing a little bit. And I don't mean necessarily sin, but just the things that God deals with us in life. He comes along, he puts his finger on something. Well, that's a little bit of, oh, man, I don't want to be bound by that. One of the things the Lord deals with me on is, Brandon, I can say it several ways, but maybe this is one way you can say it. Brandon, stop being so quick to jump out and defend yourself. Stop being so quick to think that you need to be defended. Stop being so quick to think that you don't need to hear what was just said to you and take it to heart and think about it. All right? See, so if I ignore that teaching and I say, well, that's a great teaching, and I just keep on being what I am, then I'm bound by that thing a little bit in my life because I can't get what God's trying to get to me, and I can't, what God's trying to do in my life can't be done, and what God tries to do is good, and it's a blessing to me, and it's freedom to me, it's peace to me, it's everything good to me. So there's something that's binding me from getting all those things that God wants to do in my life. So the truth didn't come to do that to me. The truth came to set me free. But it takes an action on my part to allow it to do what it was meant to do. This is where it's in our hands. All right? And this is the people he's talking to here. He said, look, there's something better. Listen to this. It says here, it says, he speaks to them and he talks about the revelation, the righteous judgment of God. And in the sixth verse, he says, God who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing. All right, now, before we read more here, I always can't hardly stop reading, but I think we need to take in what patient continuance is, okay? Have you ever come along and maybe you were, maybe I remember my parents talking to me and I remember talking to my kids. This isn't something that just my kids do. And I think I've seen examples in other children that there's something maybe they need to do. And You know, they're like, fire up. They're like, okay, whatever. That's not really cutting it. That's not really getting after and doing what you were told to do and what you need to do. You know, the Lord doesn't expect us to be bouncing around with some big smile on our face all the time, but there should be a patient continuance, which means cheerful endurance, all right, in us. As the Lord come along and deal with me, I remember Brother Clifford saying something one time. He's talking about how the Lord works on us and renovates us. And he renovates us because there's something wrong with us. It's like an old junk car. It's not, you can't go out and drive in that thing. There's some things got to be done to it, all right? And he said there's some renovations, and the Lord comes along and he begins to deal with you, and maybe he lets some trials come in your life in order to do those renovations on you. And he said, I won't get his words exactly right, but they were pretty much to this point. Don't you sit there with your head down moaning about what you're having to go through in order for the work of the Lord to be done in your life. You don't have your eyes on the prize the way you need to. All right? What the Lord leads us through is not always the easiest places. But we can have a cheerful endurance if we have our eyes on the prize. If all we're looking at is what we're going through, well, why are we going through it? Why are we even doing it? Where's our motivation? Where's the determination then to be able to go through this thing and allow it to accomplish what it needs to be? I have to realize and understand what God's doing and why, not necessarily specifically what He's doing, but the general idea of what God is doing is that He's freeing me from things that bind me, that get in the way of His joy being full in my life and His peace being full in my life, that this is what the general work of the Lord is, and the end result is that I will be happier, I will be more at peace, and I will be that much closer to my home in heaven. Now, if I really can hold on to that, it's part of faith, all right? It's part of allowing faith to work in our life. If I hold on to that, then I can walk through these things without dragging my feet and saying, whatever. Whatever. Here it is again. God, you just decided to do another something to me. Sometimes I've gone, okay, Lord. You know, but we don't have to, we should not be dragging our feet. That's not the way to make it through these things that God is doing in our life and to be successful. We're going to drag our feet, and they're going to drag us right down into a failure is what's going to happen. And we're going to say, well, I tried. Really? It's like that little child. Really? Okay, yeah, you did. You walked over there, but did you see how you did it? Did you see your attitude about it? Did you see your feet were dragging? You weren't even picking them up. Did you see you weren't looking where you were going because your eyes were down so much and you were so downcast about what you were having to do? Look up. Children of God, we are to be like children, but not that way. That's not how a child should act. All right? That's not part of it. Sometimes I'm just being a child. Well, that's not what the Lord's talking about. Open your eyes up. Cheerful endurance. Realize what God's doing and why He's doing it in your life. Okay? So it says, to them who by patient continuance or cheerful endurance and well-doing seek for glory, honor, and immortality, eternal life. Now, if I could just always in my head think glory, honor, and immortality. Lord, you've just allowed something to come that tries my patience. Glory, honor, and immortality. But you know, when I decide in patient continuance and cheerful endurance, Lord, you've always done good in my life. I'm going to trust you again, and I'll want what you have for me here. So, Lord, I want to do it your way. I want to do it like you would do it, like you want me to do it. Do you know what you're really doing? Without even realizing it sometimes, glory, honor, and immortality. This is the promise to us. This is what's waiting for us as a result of choosing to go through the things the Lord is having us to go through, to face the battles, to face the temptations, and not just yield to them. That's the choice we're making in those moments. And those who seek for that, there's a prize that they get. That's called eternal life. This is how it works in the Lord. This is what's in our hands. This is the choice we have the opportunity to make. Because there's another choice waiting right there. You're going to make that choice, or it says, but unto them that are contentious, do I really have to do this again? Seriously? I mean, what are the words? That's not basic contentious. That's a little contentious. Think about all the words that maybe your children might say, or maybe think back when you were a child and the things you might have, the way you might have acted. Was it accepting and with joy, knowing there was joy waiting for you, or was it contentious? Lord, help us. We're making a choice about what we're going after in life in those moments. It says, to them who are contentious and do not obey the truth. Okay, do not obey the truth. Do you know what that means then? If I'm not obeying the truth, what am I obeying? Well, it tells us here. It says, but do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness. Don't be contentious. Y'all, we don't realize how serious this is sometimes. We think we just have a what for, and I don't mean that we don't sit down. Look, sometimes we sit down and we just empty our heart to the Lord. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the whatevers and the seriouslys and the contention we want to have with the Lord over not doing this. And let's say it another way, not wholeheartedly getting into something. When God shows us something, to hold back and not get into it and say, Lord, I don't know what it's going to take. I may have some struggles with this, but this is where we're going because you've shown me this. And if I fall, like it says in the Bible, if I fall seven times trying to figure out how to get this done, trying to figure out how to let you do this in my life, you know what we're doing? We're going to keep on going that way. You know, less than that is really contention with the Lord. It's pulling back from Him, pulling back from what He's trying to do in your life. Therefore, you are contending with what He's trying to do. You know, sometimes we get this idea of the rebellious heathen. That's the one that's contending with you, Lord. Well, yeah, he is. That's true. But if you're holding back from the Lord, so are you. So are you. So am I. Contending. Lord, help me to realize the seriousness of the choice I make that is in my hands. What's the sacrifice remaining that the Lord has to do in order for us to have what we need? Jesus said, it's done, it's finished. He said, I'm going to leave so the Holy Spirit can come and He'll guide you into all truth. Doesn't sound like there's anything left to do, right? Sounds like it's all right there for us. And it's all in our hands as to how we're going to receive it. And whether we're going to be willing to go wholeheartedly after what the Lord's doing in our life, or we're going to contend with Him. And it says, those who are contentious and obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish. You know, we had a little something. Things start working out a whole lot better, I'll just put it that way, when you still start going after the Lord. You wonder why there's a lot of tribulation, a lot of anguish in your life. You know, it doesn't mean that we don't have things as a Christian that are sorrowful at times. Things happen. But we're talking about this tribulation, this anguish, this life is just hopeless. It's just. Well, are you going wholeheartedly after the Lord? Because as we have in a song, it says, say not Christ is in your desert, for we can believe it not. If you go after the Lord, you will have trials. You will face temptations. You will walk through places that are not easy. But you know what? The Lord will bless your life. It will be a blessing. And so it says, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good. You know, this definition of worketh good, it means to be engaged in. And I think it's so important. The Lord comes along, He's dealt with me about being careful about, you know, just being quick to answer. When maybe something's said and it might check me a little bit and I have this answer really quick. And the Lord's dealt with me about that and said you need to draw back from that. Well, you know what? The Lord's told me that a few times. You know why? Because it's happened a few times since he's told me that. I've caught myself beginning to do that same thing again, beginning to have a quick answer, beginning not to just wait and hear what's being said, what's coming to me, all right? That's why the Lord said it to me, okay? Being engaged in what the Lord is doing in your life does not mean there are not struggles. There are not struggles to see it accomplished. There will be struggles. Make sure you're engaged. Leave the rest of that to the Lord and you stay engaged, because if you stay engaged, He will set you free. You will find the victory over that thing in your life, whatever it is that God is dealing with you about. All right? And so it says, "But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile." Over in James, the first chapter. It says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation." I think it's always as we come to this place, because it absolutely includes just being tempted with sin. Okay, this verse includes that. But to limit this verse to that gives the devil a big foothold in our life to cause us at the very least some struggles. Because this word encompasses so much more than just temptation to sin. All right? This word here means adversity. This means anything as a Christian that I come upon that now I've got to find a way through it by the grace of God. Anything that would stand against me being everything that God wants me to be. It may be, it's sin for sure, if sin's a struggle. But it's a lot of other things in my life. It's everything. It's that whole land of Canaan that He said, "I'm going to give it to you place by place, step by step. Everywhere your foot goes down, I'm not giving it to you all at once. I'm not sitting here and the minute you cross this Jordan, boom, all these nations are going to be gone." It's not how it's going to work. But what He did tell him was, don't stop moving until you have conquered the land. You know what they did? They sat down and they stopped moving. And they had some problems. Those problems eventually led, hundreds of years later, to them being kicked out of the land, because it became sin before the Lord. It led them into sin. It led them into situations. If you don't keep moving forward through the adversities that you face in life, they're going to start pulling you backwards. Y'all, we don't have an option to just sit and twiddle our thumbs. There's a rest in the Lord, but it's not a rest of twiddling our thumbs. I don't want to get too far ahead, but what we're laboring for is to enter into that rest with the Lord, that we can walk in with Him. But it only comes by moving forward in our life, okay? And so it said, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried," when it comes time for your assessment, we're all going to have an assessment one day. The Lord's going to look at our life, and we're going to stand before Him. And He's going to say one of two things. He's going to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." May not be those exact words. Y'all understand what I'm saying? "Well done, my good and faithful servant, or depart from me, ye that work iniquity." There's not a middle ground. Okay? There's not a third option. This is the choice, and this is what's in our hands. The determination of those things. We are saved by the blood of Jesus. But then we have a choice to follow Him and to move forward with Him, to walk in the light as He is in the light, or to sit down and twiddle our thumbs and let the adversities of life pull us away from the Lord. One of the two. And by that determination, now that we've entered in by the blood of Jesus, which really was our choice, that was in our hands too because of what the sacrifice has been made. By our choice, we chose that. And by our choice, one day, we're going to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant, or depart from me. I never knew you." Lord, help us. This is serious. Move forward with Him. I don't know where you are. Okay, don't start looking on down the road. Well, how do I get? You know, there's a chapel over there. And if I think real hard, I still can't jump from here to there. I can think real hard all day long, and I can sit right here in this place and go, well, I need to get to that chapel. All right, let's try it. No, I don't think I can quite do it. I'm not going to even try right here. I can sit here all day long like that. And you know what happened? I will never make it to that chapel. You can sit for the rest of your life looking at what's in front of you and looking down there and saying, now how am I going to get there? Or you can look at what's right in front of you and you say, Lord, help me right here. This step, help me to take it. Because if I start taking a step right now and I pay attention to what I'm doing, there's some spots where I can't just go straight. I'm going to have to follow the path here a little bit. You got to follow the path. You got to pay attention. You can't just take off running. You got to pay attention to what the Lord's doing, because this step right here is not necessarily like that step over there. And that step right there is not necessarily like that step over there. There may be some different obstacles, the things that the Lord is dealing with in my life. And if I'm just always looking ahead, I'm going to trip up. Or if I'm trying to step and just stay in this step right here, I'm never going to get there. But if I pay attention to the step that's in front of me, you know what's going to happen at one point? That's where I'm going to be. It's the same way in our life with the Lord. Just look at what's right in front of you. And you know what? If you've looked at that and you've asked the Lord to help you and you moved in it and there were some struggles and you're still looking at it, well, that's the step you got to deal with. Keep dealing with it. Figure it out with the Lord. Keep it under the blood. Lord, help me. I realize I haven't quite got this yet. Help me. I start to step down. Whoa, wait a minute. Hold on. Maybe that's not quite the way to go. Well, that doesn't mean I still can't make it to the chapel, but I'm going to have to deal with this step before I can deal with those. So keep on dealing with what's right in front of you. It really never changes, quite honestly. Deal with what's in front of you, with what the Lord's got there. And if you're willing to do that, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. See, he's got all that in his hands. He's made the promises. And if you just do what he's telling you to do, one day you'll look up and go, whoa, amazing. I'm here. Praise God. I mean, we spend so much time trying to figure out whether we're going to make it or not. Focus on what's in front of you, and you will. By the grace of God, you will make it. All right? Lord, help us. Which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Do you know, I thought about it this way. You think I can do this safely? I'm going to draw it and then stick it up here, maybe where you can see it, hopefully. All right. All right, if I can't do this, I'm going to set it right back down, y'all. Y'all don't worry. All right, I think we did that all right. Okay. What is this? Does anybody know what this is? Fishing pole with a what on the end of it. All right. It's a shiny hook. And a lot of times there's a little something put on there. All right. And we, like a fish, are sitting here looking at this. I'm not an artist, y'all. I get nervous when God gives me something to draw, but maybe you'll get the point. All right. So we're looking at this. And for the sake of our discussion today, it's that contention that we're talking about. Why do I have to do this? What is this? And we don't see who's holding the pole on this sometimes. We might even sometimes say, well, God just showed me an easier way. I didn't have to do that. Look, something's tempting you not to do what God's telling you to do. Guess who's not on the other end of that pole? Whatever's there, know this, that it's not God. All right? And the end result is not going to be that you end up where God wants you to be. There are so many people saying, well, God brought this thing into my life. God brought this. Really? That's interesting because it's directly contradictory to what the Word says very clearly. So how is God bringing that into your life? I'm really struggling with that. Now, let me not put it off on other people. I've had these same struggles sometimes. Praying about things, well, maybe I should do this. It's not what the Word says. Maybe I should act this way. Maybe I should just let them see my anger. Maybe I should just let them see my frustration. Not what the Word says. I can come up with several verses right off the top of my head dealing with that particular issue because God's given them to me. All right? All right? So whatever's on the other end of this pole that's tempting me to do something besides what God's showing me to do, it's not God. It will not get you where God is trying to take you. It will not work the joys of the Lord and the peace of the Lord in your life. We'll save pulling that down for the end of service. I'm not going to try that twice. All right. In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and we'll look down at the 12th verse. And this particular here is talking about there's people who have fallen from just, it was speaking about the children of Israel here and how the Lord intended for that whole group to make it to the land of Canaan. That was His will. That was His desire. Absolutely. But did they all make it? No. Actually, the group that left, who made it of the adult group that left from Egypt? Who made it? Caleb and Joshua. They were the only ones. You know, some people fail because they really lusted after some evil things. But what about those people who got this report? 10 out of 12 spies say that we can't do this. We sent these men over there to see if we really can do it. God told us to send the spies, if I remember the story right. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but if I remember that story right, I hadn't really read it before I got up here, but God told them to send those spies into the land. And here's what we got these two guys over here jumping around telling us we can do it, but we've got 10 people saying we can't. Is that really just, I mean, do we think there's no way I would have done that? I don't know. I hope I would have had the faith like Joshua and Caleb, but that's what it took. They had faith. They didn't see something different than those people, and they were willing to hold on. I hope that's what I would have done. But my point is, there were people who didn't make it, and they weren't necessarily out there just going after the craziest, evilest thing they could find. They weren't moving on through the next step that the Lord had in front of them. That's what happened. They had another step in front of them, and they drew back from it. They contended with the Lord, and they didn't make it. It says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And I want to tie that verse in with this next verse, and I don't normally do that. I think of that being, don't be too self-assured of yourself, okay? But let's read the next verse and let's talk about this a little bit. It says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. Okay, so what are you facing today? You know, it's most likely, probable, could we say 99.9%? Because we always have to leave the 0.1. I know we're not God. We don't know absolutely. Most likely, somebody's dealt with that before in their life. Because it doesn't come from the external here. It comes from the internal. And what works in us has worked in mankind since Adam and Eve fell. What stood against us has stood against mankind since Adam and Eve fell. So what you're dealing with today, whatever the outs, that's what we would say, well, but they didn't have this or they didn't have this. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have TVs. They didn't have, cars and I don't know, whatever else you want to come up with for whatever reason. They didn't have to deal with this kind of a person. They didn't have these kind of people back then. You know, what's the problem is inside of you. And it's been inside of man since time began. Well, I'm sorry, since Adam and Eve fell. It's been inside of man since then. All right? That's what you're dealing with, all right? So, there's no temptation has taken you but is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may bear it. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. What you're facing today is in your hands because what God has done. You are able because of what God has done and what he will do in your life if you are willing to have the faith. What held those people out of the land of Canaan? They couldn't take that next step. They didn't have the faith to do it. They didn't believe. If you are willing to take God at his word, then that means that there is a way of escape for you in this situation. There is a way that God can help you to have the victory where you're walking, what you're walking through. Therefore, you have a choice to make. It's not in God's hands. It's in your hands to believe that he's able to carry you through that situation. Wherefore, take heed. This is the only way you're going to stand. You're not going to stand here holding back from something that God's trying to do in your life. You will fall. Holding back from God will lead to failure, will lead to you falling in your life. But if you want to believe that he's able to make a way of escape, make a way that you can make it through there, you know, it's not a mudslide I thought about one time that just boom, takes you over here. It's a way to go through this situation. You know, it's like when Christian came on the path and Apollyon came down in front of him and there was a battle to be made. You know, he fought Apollyon. There was a battle there. But, you know, think about that situation. Think about the fact of what God is doing is not taking you back down the trail or off to the side. But one way or another, God is going to take you to the other side of whatever that obstacle is on this path. A way of escape, a way to make it through there without whatever failure you think might happen happening to you. All right? He will make a way of escape that you will be able to bear it. Therefore, in the Matthew 26, Matthew 26, and this is the story, we'll be down in the 39th, 40th verse here. This is a story of Jesus praying in the garden, all right? And it says that, you know, he went a little farther there, 39th verse, fell on his face and prayed, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Could you not keep awake? Could you not just rouse yourself? Could you not stay alert for 1 hour? Watch and pray. Stay alert and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." You know what's on this hook here? Is your flesh. That's what Satan is using. Because that's who's on the other end of this hook here, is Satan. And he's got your flesh, other end of this pole. And he's got your flesh on this hook. And he's dangling it out there saying, "Don't you want to go this way? This will be a lot easier. This will be a lot better. This will be a special treat just to do it this way." All right? The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Be aware of that. The battle as I face this adversity is not how big the adversity is. That doesn't matter. We sing songs about that all the time. Bigger than any mountain. Bigger than anything. Our God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my problems. Bigger than all my failures. Bigger than anything. Is he really? I mean, that's what the Bible teaches us. That's what we say we believe. I don't know about this thing. I mean, is he God or is he God? Is his word true or is it true? Well, we'll see if it's true or not. And if I make it through this, then God's word is true. God's word's true. And what he said is you will if you follow him. So you just walk up at what does the other psalm say? So go tell the mountain just how big your God is. The mountain will tell you that you can't make it over. It will try to convince you that it's way too high. Though you feel defeated, know that God, I'm sorry, I can't get those words, keeps, for emphasis, I think maybe God made me forget those words. God keeps his promises. That's what we say he is. He's a God that keeps his promises. He promised us that we could have the victory. So is he true to his promises or is he not? Well, but I tried and I didn't make it. Is God true to his promises or not? What are you doing sitting down? The devil's jangling some flesh to you. You tried, you hit your head. Why don't you just go this way? Are you going to believe God's true to his promises or not? Get up and go again. Maybe you stepped wrong, or maybe God's just waiting and seeing how many times you're going to hit that wall, believing, proving that you really believe, Lord, I don't know why I'm still hitting this wall, but I'm going to keep hitting it until you move it. He made the children of Israel walk around Jericho seven days and seven times on the seventh day. Why? The walls, they weren't unsettling the ground. They were simply obeying what the Lord, believing that whatever the Lord has said, he's going to do it. Do we have that kind of faith? All right. Watch and pray. The spirit is willing, but the flesh indeed is weak. I have here, put down the phone, the battle's real. All right. To explain a little bit of what I mean. It's easy if we don't believe this is serious and that if I'm going to be successful with the Lord, I'm going to have to keep at this thing until I have the victory. If we really believe that, we're going to keep at it. But we're kind of like, oh, yeah, hey, listen. Oh, no, wait a minute. Okay, well, oh, well. Put down the phone. The battle's real. This is what's important in your life right now. Whatever else is going on is not important. What God is dealing about you with is what is important. All right? Treat it that way. Lord, help us. I feel like I don't hardly have the words to convey how desperately we need to feel about this thing. Whatever it is that is in front of us. That, Lord, this is what we're going to be about until I have the victory over this thing in my life. Whatever it takes, Lord. That's what I'll be willing to do. Hebrews, the fourth chapter. And we mentioned something at the start of this and about a rest. And I'll be honest. If the Lord hasn't taken you past what we've talked about this morning, you're probably like, well, I believe what you're saying, but it doesn't sound like a whole lot of rest. But what the Lord came to give us is not a rest from these things and working through situations, but it's the rest in our soul that we get as we follow the Lord, where we rest in peace. We rest free from sin. We rest in freedom. No longer bound by Satan. No longer pulled by his little hook on the fishing line. No longer pulled down by the adversities in life that we keep coming up against and falling to, but finding victory. That's where rest is in our life. That's why it says labor, that you may enter into that rest. All right? And so here in the fourth chapter, and we'll go down to the ninth verse, it says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. If you don't listen to anything else I say, know that this whole message this morning has been about us. Having the rest that the Lord wants us to have. This is how it happens in our life. The things that you've heard, if you want rest, you need to keep moving forward with the Lord, whatever it takes, through those things, walk in that path, and you will find rest to your souls. It says, for he that entereth into his rest, he is also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. You know, it's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. This is where the rest is. This is where my works stop. You know what, Lord? I can't fix this thing. I can't, in and of myself, Lord, I won't even recognize all the times that I'm quick to give an answer instead of waiting and thinking about what was just said to me. Lord, I won't catch every time I do that, and I will fail to do it even if I catch it so many times. You know, with the Lord, I find myself going, oh, yeah, okay, I'm sorry, Lord. Help me on this one again. It says, he that entered in rest, he has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quicker. This is why I cease from my works. Because God's got something that I don't have. He's got something that can do things that I can't do. All right? For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing us even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is and of the joints and the marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. This is why I can't just keep kicking this thing and trying to fix it myself. I can't do any of that. And as long as I'm kicking it myself, or I'm over here going, well, there's probably an easier way than the way the Lord's dealing with me to do this thing. There's probably an easier way to handle this. I can probably, I'm okay. I'm he that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. I'm fine. You know what? This thing's just a minor thing. It's not going to cause me to fall in my life. I'll be fine. It's, people will understand, and if it happens, I'll just ask forgiveness and I'll move on. Take heed, he that thinketh he standeth, lest he fall. All right? Because we need something better than our own decisions about how we're going to handle this thing. We need that that can divide asunder, that can dig deep in our life. And that is the word of God. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. When I step over here, I'm letting the one that I'm going to stand before one day to judge my life and decide whether I'm going to heaven or hell based on what I've done. I'm giving him the chance right now to do that work in my life and prepare me so that I will be ready. There is nothing else besides the way of escape that the Lord makes for us that's going to get us to that place, because there's not anything else in life that can do what's necessary to prepare us for that moment. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When you come up to this moment, whatever you're facing right here, you're not going to find what you need by kicking it. You're not going to find what you need by moving away from it. You find what you need by falling on your knees right there in that place with the Lord by, and you do that by saying, this is you, Lord. You're putting your finger on something in my life. Lord, I need help. Lord, this is me. And his mercy said, yeah, you know what, you're right. And I'm willing to hear you. And then you say, Lord, I need help to get through this. And his grace can help you do that. I've said this before, but the grace of God, the Greek word means the presence of God shining into a life and its reflection being seen. It's what enables us to gain a victory over these places in our life that we come up against. It is the only thing that can get us victory. It is the only thing that can prepare us to stand before the Lord one day and hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Why? You look just like what I've been making you to be the whole time, because we've let the Lord be active in our life and do what he would have to do. So as you're right here, don't move back, don't kick it. Fall on your knees before the Lord and say, Lord, have mercy and give me grace to conquer this thing in my life. You pray for me.